Gracious God, again, we give you thanks for the five on our nominating committee. And God, we pray for those that are going to serve as elders, that you then know their names already. We trust, God. Help this nominating committee be open to your Holy Spirit and be moved by that and that alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You call worship. Before we do call worship, just a quick thing on the bulletin. We're not having children's message. Children's message will be during the baptism. Would anybody like to volunteer to get the children in the nursery and bring them up during that time? You would do it. That's only if your child is down there. Okay. All right, Christine's going to do it. You have a lot on your plate this morning, so I just hate to do that. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Please stand in the body, in body or spirit, and join me for the call to worship. We are called to follow, to walk in the way of justice and righteousness.
We are children of God.
We are called to serve, to be Christ with and for one another.
We are the salt of the earth.
We are called to shine, to be beacons of hope and witnesses to truth.
For we are the light of the world.
Come, you who are claimed as children of God, salt of the earth and light of the world.
Let us worship the Lord.
Let us sing hymn 475, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Blessed to have a God who loves us. Blessed to have a God who cares for us. Blessed to have a God of reconciliation, a God of forgiveness. Let us now turn to God with boldness, confessing that of our sins, first silently and then together. Let us pray. And together, Almighty God, we have asked for your righteous judgment against others. We have not acknowledged the sin in our own lives. We have worshipped you with our lips. We have dishonored you with our actions. We have prayed for you to end the suffering in our world. Yet we have not practiced the compassion and generosity toward others. Our religion has become the source of quarreling, rather than a testimony to your grace. Forgive our self-righteousness and give us integrity of our heart, that we may shine forth light of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news.
In mercy, God forgives us our sin and grants us genuine repentance through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit.
We are forgiven.
Let us pray. Lord, open our understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the word is proclaimed, we may receive holy wisdom to understand the gifts you have bestowed on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 9. I invite you to listen to the words of the Lord. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask me of righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down to the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To lose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them and to not hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our gospel lesson comes from Matthew today. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You can find it on your pew Bible on page 4 if you want to read along. And we're beginning a series over the next couple of weeks called Let Our Light Shine. This is a series that the children are also following in their Bible study at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning. Let our light shine. They're looking at what does it mean for to let our light shine as a church. And so we'll follow the same theme for the next couple of weeks, and this will be finalized with a fall festival in October 24th with the same theme going on. And as we gather in our scripture this morning, this is the very beginning in Matthew's gospel of Jesus' ministry. If you recall, Jesus starts his ministry in Matthew on top of a mountain. And Jesus is often referred to in Matthew as teacher. And so Jesus finishes the Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes, and then he goes on And he starts going into the Sermon on the Mount. And this is the very beginning of that right after the Beatitudes. I invite you now to listen to the word of our Lord. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it's accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Friends, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It was the summer of 1969, and the creators of the children's television show Sesame Street were just 6 weeks away from the air date of the first episode. Now, to make sure that the show was going to be a success, the producers created one full episode, and they decided to show this to their audience, a group of children. The results were not what they expected. In making the show, the producers had followed the advice of child psychologists who said they need to separate the fantasy elements from the real elements. In other words, when there are real human beings on the screen, the talking puppets should be nowhere in sight. The psychologists worried that mixing fantasy and reality would be misleading to the children who were watching. The problem was, when the kids tested the first episode, they lost interest every single time when the scene was only human actors. The producers knew for them to have a successful show, the audience's attention couldn't just wax and wade like that. So they imagined a new vision for the show, reshooting all the street scenes with new characters. And these characters they created were characters like Big Bird, and Oscar the Grouch, and Mr. Snuffleupagus. Characters that could walk and talk and interact with human beings on the street. They defied all of the powers that be's opinion. And it was a success. When the followers of Jesus of Nazareth came to the scene in the first century, disrupting the settled order, they were seen as a group of dreamers, ones that imagined a world that was unrealistic. They said they were filled with empty words and gestures, and they were not to be trusted at all, definitely not to be followed. That was certainly the attitude of the powers that be that had towards Paul and Silas as they healed a demon-possessed slave girl, which enraged the owners, who were making a pretty penny off of this girl. They landed them in jail where they were cut with confinement. And they cut with confinement, not with protest, but they did so with prayer. They sang hymns of praises. They practiced forgiveness. And when the chains were broken by an earthquake, the guard that was ready to kill himself because of all the failure of letting these people go, until they were stopped by two freed prisoners who declined to escape. Paul and Silas were, if you will, poor in spirit, yet pure in heart. They were meek as they hungered and thirsted for God's justice and hope. In their mourning and in their persecution, they were merciful. They made peace in every way that ran counter to the perception of the day. They were salt. They were light. as I mentioned earlier, Let Our Light Shine is the fall Bible study theme for our children this year, this fall. And during worship, we'll spend some time over the next couple of weeks studying what does it mean to be light in the Bible. But what does it mean then to let our light shine? What does it mean when Jesus says, let your light shine before others? Recently, a humanist chaplain at Harvard, speaking out of his tradition, said, we don't look to a God for answers. We are each other's answers. If that's the answer, to let our light shine, to look at each other, to be the light in the world, as if we were watching some sentimental Olympic story, as we wait for the swimmers to line up to compete, I'm not interested. Don't get me wrong. I don't have anything against or opposed to those such stories. But I'm yearning for something deeper. Yearning for something deeper with Jesus' teaching from the Bible. Yearning for a deeper meaning from God. And I believe this is exactly what is going on within this scripture. When Jesus talks about righteousness that exceeds that of the most various virtuous people in the world, Jesus, he wants something more. Jesus is yearning for something different. Jesus wants us to imagine a new standard, to live into a world which he calls the kingdom of God. Jesus is calling us to see a different image of God. God as love. God as one who cares about moral standards, yes. But God who cares even more about people. When talking about letting our light shine without God into the discussion, we're quick to add the word but into our sentence. Yes, we should forgive, but he has to pay the price. I believe in reconciliation, but not until she apologizes. Again, more, louder. Yes, I like you. But there's just not room for you at our table. Yes, I think love is a good thing. But instead, when we bring Jesus into the conversation, Jesus changes that word but into therefore. And that is exactly what you are the light of the world is. It is a therefore statement to the Beatitudes that precedes it. Jesus is getting us to reimagine what the world could look like by literally changing with whom and where we stand. Won't you know if the light that we are trying to shine is our own light or God's light? Then take a look at your feet. You're in the right place if we're pure in heart, poor in spirit, meek, hunger and thirsting for righteousness in the right relationships. We're in the right place when we mourn and when we are merciful and are persecuted for God's sake. Do that, be there, and our life is reconstructed. Our church is reconstructed. And this is where Jesus begins his ministry. By redirecting the feet of his followers and giving them a new identity, saying to them, you are the light of the world. In a little bit, we're going to have the opportunity to baptize both Isabel and Allison. For them, this is a starting point. And this is why in our tradition, we baptize infants. For in our baptism, we are being named. We're given a new identity. It's nothing that we earn. It's nothing that we can strive to receive. It's a gift given to us freely by God. God names us child. God calls us light of the world. And just like Jesus was launching his followers on a new journey, in our baptism, we are launched onto a new journey that takes our entire life. To live like Jesus, to care about what Jesus cared about, to reconstruct where our feet stand, and to shine the light in a world that would rather just live in darkness. Some kids getting baptized, I believe, know this. And even if they don't know it. Somewhere deep inside of them, they know it. When a kid being baptized grabs that microphone, or they try to duck the water or grab onto the robe, we all tend to chuckle and say, "Isn't that cute? Isn't that cute?" But what if it's not cute? What if it's an age-appropriate response to the plain fact that we have to die before we live? What if it's a two-year-old way of saying that she's not sure, that she's not sure she's ready to live like Jesus, or in the words of Scripture, to be the light? Her name was Ellen. She was due to be baptized at the Easter Vigil service. The Easter Vigil service is a service that occurs in the middle of the night when Easter actually begins. The only thing that was her parents wanted was they wanted Ellen to be baptized by immersion. And the church they belonged to had a font very similar to ours, that there's no way you can immerse a child inside of that. So the priest got creative. And without asking Ellen, he decided the best thing to do was to take a 36-gallon garbage can and decorate it with ivy and make it look really pretty and fill it with water so Ellen could be immersed into it. And the night of the service arrived, and unbelievably, the garbage can looked pretty good. Not too bad, really. But this three-year-old was savvy. She was savvy enough to know a garbage can when she saw a garbage can. And so when Ellen saw that destination that the priest had in mind for her, she stiffened up really hard and very quickly. But Ellen was also a brave little girl, and her parents had rehearsed for her well in this moment was going to happen. So she moved forward to make this shift bath. They moved her forward to this shift baptismal font and doing everything that she was supposed to do, one thing after another, right to the point where the priest leaned down to pick her up. Then at that point, she planted her feet against the garbage can, so the water went splashing everywhere, and she screamed at the top of her lungs, "Don't do it! Don't do it!" Was that cute? Was that a faithful, appropriate response? That each of us has to die to live. Ellen recognized her new identity. She recognized something in that water of where Jesus was heading. And she recognized it was high. And it was hard. And it was going to be a challenge. And Mel and Christine know this. So they bring the children to church. And we all know this as well, too. And so we make vows. We make them to Isabel. We make them to Allison. We've made them to countless children and adults, and these vows continue today. These vows do not end when you turn 18, for all of us are children of God. But these vows carry on. Allison and Isabel, when they move to a new city, the vows that we make today, that church they move into, will take our vows and continue those vows. And as people move into our community, we are taking the vows that their church made for them. We all continue to make them. We do this because baptism is not a destination. Baptism is the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey that God calls us to individually, yes. But God also calls us, more importantly, to do this together in a community. So that the church together in a community can travel on this journey together. And so together that we can go out and we can shine light into the world. And so that together, when I am living in such darkness, that I cannot find that light. I trust that you live up to your vows that you have given to me and shine the light for me. Father Greg Boyle tells the story of a young man named Pedro. Caught in this gang life of the streets of L.A., Pedro is filled with rage and resentment that he covered up with the addiction to crack cocaine. And whenever Father Boyle would see Pedro, he'd always offer Pedro to take him to rehab, and Pedro would always decline. Until one day Pedro changed his answer and began this long, hard journey of returning home. 30 days into Pedro's rehab, his younger brother, caught up in the same similar darkness, took his own life. And when Father Bull called with the news, Pedro was devastated, as you can only imagine. Father Bull later was driving Pedro to the funeral when Pedro began to tell Bull about a dream that he had the night before. In his dream, Pedro and Father Bull were in a large, empty room alone. There were no lights at all. There's no windows. It was complete darkness, total darkness. In the darkness, there was silence. And Father Bull takes out a flashlight from his pocket and he turns it on. Slowly deliberating, he shines the flashlight around the room into this narrow beam. Illuminates right there in the back on a light switch on the wall. No words were said. No explanation offered. Just a beam of light revealing a switch on the wall. The dream Pedro stands up slowly. With some trepidation, he makes his way to the switch, takes a deep breath, and he flips the light on. The room is then flooded with light. At this point in retelling the story, Pedro is sobbing. His voice is astonishing in the discovery that he found, and he said, the light is better than the darkness. As if he had never known this before. And then he said, I guess my brother just never found the switch. Bull writes, possessing flashlights and occasionally knowing where to aim them has to be enough for us. And the good news is, Jesus says it is enough. Our call has never been to save the world. Our call is not to save our neighbors or to even save ourselves. We are not the saviors. Jesus is. Our call, Jesus says, is to shine the light. I'll take it from there. Point to me. And the funny thing is, when we start doing that, when we start shining the light, the more we shine the light, the more we point to Jesus, the more we see Jesus. The more others point to Jesus. And our presence, our feet, begin to change directions. And our identity is revealed. A few years ago, a contemporary novelist, Mary Gordon, published Reading Jesus, a writer's encounter with the Gospels. As one reviewer said, it's a book of questions it tribulates to something inscrutable, protagonist of all of the Gospels. And Gordon realized that despite a Roman Catholic upbringing, she had never read all four Gospels in succession of one after the other. And she said the results are fresh. They were arresting. Perhaps no place more than her comment after reading the Beatitudes. Pausing and letting these blessings roll over her, she realized that they are calling to her to say yes. For this, I'll try to change my life. And more, without this, I would not know who I am. In other words, you are the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite Mel and Christine to come forward and Paul Hart to come forward. And as we wait for Christine to come, we come now to celebrate baptism. And during celebrating baptism, we are also called to remember our own baptism. As we remember the vows that we have not only make for each other, but remember the vows that you and I make for one another. In baptism, God claims us and puts a sign on us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death and unites us in death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and we join to Christ's ministry in love and peace and justice. And so again, as we come and as they come to the baptismal font, let us remember and rejoice in our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session,
I'll give you that.
I present.
I can't hear you.
On behalf of the session, I present Isabel Marie Cox and Allison Jane Cox to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Emma and Christine, relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach the faith to Isabel and Allison? And do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you intend Isabel and Allison to be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying God's word and showing God's love? And I invite the children to come forward. And you can sit on the front row. And to you all, as we witness this baptism, do you promise to give Isabel and Allison, do you promise to give them high fives when they both do well? And to hug them when they're sad, to hang out with them and say all is okay, and tell them stories about Jesus. And you say, you say we do.
And to the congregation, do we promise through prayer and example to support and encourage Isabel and Allison to be faithful Christians?
We do.
I think I already did that. Yeah. Affirmation of faith. Okay, sorry. Please stand in body or spirit and let us confess the faith of our baptism. With the whole church, we affirm that we are made in God's image, befriended by Christ, empowered by the Spirit, with people everywhere. We affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity. And all that is wrong with all creation, we celebrate the miracle and wonder of life, the unfolding purposes of God, forever at work in ourselves and in the world. Amen.
You may be seated. We join me in prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, giver of all life and the gift of water to sustain it, we give thanks. God, we give thanks for all that you have made. In the beginning, your creative spirit hovered over the watery chaos, bringing order and life into being. By water you nourished the earth that you made. Through water you led your people to freedom. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized as one of us and anointed by your Holy Spirit to proclaim your coming reign. God, we pray now for you to send your spirit upon this water, that it may be for us the womb of new life and empower us to share that abundant life with all following the way of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Enjoy, we welcome Isabel Marie Cox and Allison Jane Cox as members of our community and as heirs of God's grace and hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And anytime we have a baptism, we present to them two new Bibles. Yeah, do you want to hand that to me? Two new Bibles, yeah. So we... two Bibles, one for both Allison and Isabel.
A book.
And we also have for you all, a quilt made for the quilting sisters, and they're in the car. And so we will present those to you in the car, and maybe by last hand we'll present that to you. But we present that quilt because we're reminded that we are clothed with Christ in our baptism. We are clothed with Christ in our baptism, and they put that around them that they would be clothed with Christ in their baptism. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all may go back to your seats now. Yeah, you're happy now. That's right. All right. Ooh, I almost caught her eye. And welcome to Lewinton Presbyterian Church. My name is Barrett Payne. I'm the pastor here, and if you're joining us online, thank you for joining us online this morning. And I invite you to visit our website at lewintonpres.org, and there all of our contact information is online, and I'd love to be in conversation with you about our church or faith in general. Just a couple announcements this morning. First, the Little Lights Choir will begin their practice tonight at 5 o'clock, and the youth are also meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. And dinner is going to be provided by the men of the church. They're going to be providing breakfast for dinner. So if you don't have, she's good. You hang out. You want to keep helping? So if you love to come and welcome, everybody's welcome to come and join us this morning. I tell you what, Christine, Mr. Hill has the quilts, so we'll present those to them right now, too. So we'll present these quilts from the Quilting Sisters. So one for both Allison and Isabel. Again, we present these quilts because we're reminded that in our baptism we are clothed with Christ. And through Christ, that nothing can do that. So every time they put that on, they're reminded in such a thing. Yes. You're welcome. So invite anybody who'd like to join us tonight at 5 o'clock for dinner. And the youth will be studying tonight, some Bible study and doing some fun things to there for night as well, too. And next Saturday, the youth will not be gathering at 5 o'clock on Sunday, but they'll be gathering at 2 o'clock on Sunday for their, on Saturday, 2 o'clock on Saturday for their monthly service project. A lot going on in the life of the church, of Lewinton Presbyterian Church, and invite you to look at the announcements and see everything going on. And reach out to those if you have any, whose name's there, if you have any question. Let's continue worshiping God with our tithe and offerings. Always remembering that God gives to us freely, let us also give to God freely. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all that it is that you give to us in life. And God, we thank you for naming us your child and for calling us and naming us your light of the world. God, we ask that you accept these gifts that we present to you today, as humble as they may be, whether they be money or time or our talents, use these gifts for us then together as a church to go out into the world and follow you, shining light wherever it is that you are. God, we ask that you reconstruct our feet, both individually and as a church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As we turn to God in prayer, I invite you to take the insert home with you and keep those in, on our prayer list in your prayers throughout the week. And if you have written in the cards for the baptismal on this day of baptism, I invite you to place them here. You can give them to Mel and Christine, or you can place them in the, on the, in the offering place. We'll make sure they get them. Let us now turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, through the testimony of those who know your love, you have guided us to ask what it is that we need. Our Lord Jesus called his disciples to live as a city on the hill, as a lamp on a stand, that we may see the glory of God. We pray for the church, God. We pray for the church, for the community of disciples. Grant that we may, that we who claim the name of Christ may shine as light into this dark world. Our brother Paul led the church not by lofty words or human wisdom, but by wisdom born of your Spirit. God, we pray for those who have served the church. God, we pray for pastors, for teachers, for elders, for a nominating committee, and for those who minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Forsake worldly knowledge that perishes, and be led by your truth. Blessed are those, God, who honor your commandments. And we pray, Lord, for our world. God, we pray for our government systems throughout the world and for all its leaders. May all who rule honor justice. And may they honor compassion. And may they serve the common good, that the people may flourish. Lord of God, teach us to offer food to the hungry and to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. And God, we pray now for the sick. We pray for those that are hungry, for the poor, for the homeless. We pray for those that are being oppressed. Oh God, let your church minister to those in distress and bear witness to your abiding compassion for all who suffer. To you, O God, we pray through Christ, with Christ, in unity with the Holy Spirit forever and ever. We pray to you, O God, these prayers, in the prayer that our Savior Jesus Christ taught us, as we say as one body, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us sing our last hymn together, hymn 12. Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Those friends say,
Friends, live simply, give generously, serve faithfully, pray daily, and leave everything else up to God, knowing that God loves you as if God has nothing else to do. And may that love of God and the peace of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go through this day and forevermore. Amen.
Have a good week.